When the organizers of this conference talked about the sorts of folks that we needed to have at these plenary sessions, one of the conclusions we came to pretty quickly was that we needed to have some of the crucial voices that we hear too often. And one of the people who immediately came to mind when we had that discussion is one of the most long-standing radical Aboriginal activists in the country. I'm talking about Howard Adams. Howard grew up in a Métis family in Saskatchewan. He went to do graduate studies at the University of California and became involved in the Berkeley Free Speech Movement in the middle of the 1960s. He returned from that and became a founder member and president of the Saskatchewan Métis Association and an acknowledged leader throughout the province and much of the country at the time of what was then known as the Red Power Movement. Howard is also the author of two hugely important books on Aboriginal oppression in Canada, Prisons of Grass, which he published in the mid-1970s, and then Tortured People, The Politics of Colonization, which has recently been republished in a revised edition. Howard, while retired, now continues his work in these areas. He is on the executive of the Vancouver Métis Association, and I hope you'll join me in giving him a very warm welcome.
Thank you so much, Dave. And I'm probably a little bit like Deborah. I want to situate my politics. And Dave really said a little bit of it. In an internal colony in northern Saskatchewan, as really a half-breed colony. And I'm saying that Canada still has, or always has, imperialism and very pronounced imperialism, and we are the people who are the colonized. Well, in the 1960s, as Aboriginals, we were so oppressed in the north and exploited and subject to hunger, racism, and all the vicious kinds of violence you could think of. Now, at some point, we didn't, in a sense, have to organize, but some of the brothers decided to take action. And the action he took, or they took, was violence. Because they didn't know anything really about politics or the state or how you should be able to take power from it. So they decided to act directly. Now, the most direct oppression they were feeling was that the Maoris in their plane, when the Aboriginal people would be coming in the evening from the lake from fishing, is that the Maoris were put down in their plane right beside the boats of the Aboriginals and then get on their boat and seize the fish that the Aboriginal people had. Well, I guess as people who get hungry and come to the point of starvation, that you decide you must take action. So they did. And one night, they blew up that boat so that it was never to float again. There was all kinds of other sorts of exploitation. And hunger, I say, actually, some of our young children, a few, died. They didn't call it hunger, but that's what it was. And so that, you know, feelings run pretty high in those situations because the state has their administration right there in the core of our colony. And those white bureaucrats and police are carrying loaded guns. And just to go to their local meetings, or maybe they even go to coffee, they may be carrying guns. Now, this is in the 60s and 70s, please remember. So that we felt that we had to somehow organize so that we could be on a little more of a continuous basis of doing things, and not just kind of sporadic and anarchistic kinds of things. So that we organized the best we could. We organized in small groups. Those of us who knew each other could trust each other, that there would be no leak from any of us. And then we decided on the kind of action that we would have to take. And we would discuss it in our group. We would discuss it with those who we thought who were very relevant to our action and to the community. Now, by having small groups right from the community meant that they knew exactly the resources, the people we had to attack and how we had to attack them, and those of the Aboriginals who had the confidence and the good sense to operate in a way that would not or would do as little damage as possible, but yet gain us the power we needed. That's what we felt, is that we were powerless, totally powerless to stop this kind of violence and oppression. And the only way we could really act was to take power from the state. You cannot, in our minds, ask them for consideration for reforms because they'll take them back tomorrow. We said we have to take power. And we moved in that direction during the 60s and 70s, and gradually things did improve for us, and the state began to change, and they started to move out those white authoritarian bureaucrats, and eventually they started allowing us to elect our own Aboriginal people as sort of the local governors of that community. Now, that's a big change indeed. It took many years. We considered that a very big victory, and from then on we had several victories. And I hear people talking about celebrating victories. That is exceedingly important, because every time we had a victory, we gathered and we cheered, we celebrated, because that was giving us confidence. That was telling us we were winning. So that was so important, to celebrate a victory. Now, gradually, of course, what happened in the 60s, our little groups started moving out, expanding, and then reaching other groups. And eventually, by the mid-70s, or maybe a little earlier, we were associating with and linked with white groups in mainstream society, such as unions, the feminists, students, and farmers' union. And what we would do is that during the week we would operate in our own area, but in the weekend there were meetings that were held together, all of these groups. And that's where we would then discuss the situation, what had happened during the week, and what we anticipated in the coming week. And if there was any serious trouble or the state moved on us in any way, then we would immediately bring in all our forces. And we did that on a few times because we had to, including the media. We had a discussion in our group this morning a little bit about the media. Now, that we were fortunate in the 60s and 70s that the media covered our discussions, our actions, and what took place in around our sort of whole Aboriginal society. And the media gave us favorable coverage. I think that was the one big thing that sort of made the success story we had, and the accomplishments through our efforts, was really that we had a high profile. And we had a profile that was positive. except, of course, I know that they used to say that Howard Adams toys with violence. That didn't seem to bother my reputation or my action very much. Not that I was really involved that much with violence, but it's a reputation you have hung on you. But also then what happened is that action and struggle by Aboriginal people right across the nation started to develop and take place. And then one day we hear and know all about Oka and their struggle. And we know what the state did with the Aboriginal people from Oka. And we know there's no way that the state is going to give up any power or any territory or anything unless we take it. We don't always have to take it by violence. But we have to be a little more forceful than simply demonstrations. Yeah. I like in the group I was in this afternoon when I heard someone talking about that we should be building probably a counter state, or that we should bring down the government. Those were very strong words indeed. I heard someone talk about a fourth world war, and he sounded like he was talking about a class war. But anyway, the situation today with the native people is very different in the sense that many of them live in urban areas, and now they are funded great sums of money to be doing things with their people on the reserves or the colonies. And mostly they are training programs, and they get a certain remuneration to take this training program. But at the end, there are really no jobs, so that they're being sucked into that kind of a situation. Well, the thing is that it has not really improved their own quality of life or their own power. They are still, or we are still, a very impoverished people. And that we don't have much control over either the reserve or our own Métis colonies. The money usually stops with the chief and the band, or with the Métis, it's the president and the executive, and these people more or less wasted. I have criticized this situation very much in my book, and I have criticized it to the government. At one time, Gretchen was Minister of Indian Affairs, and I've spoken to him, but things have never changed, and I don't expect him to change them now. So that we have to keep moving forward, and as I say, putting the pressure on, and that, you know, seizing things that are important to us to improve our quality of life, and also the things in the schools. Those books are so racist that I could not honestly say that there is probably one in the whole institution, including this one, that is not racist. Because after all, Canada was colonized by the British, and they've got their Eurocentric interpretation in almost every one of those books. And I don't think the show, what is it, The People's History, has anything to say that will not be sort of, it will be, as I say, Eurocentric, fabricated, distorted. Louis Riel will be a madman, and it will be necessary to hang him. Those things still are there. But on the other hand, now I am pleased because I'm retired and I don't have too many years left to struggle, and I would like to see things change not only for the Aboriginal people but for all people in Canada, to be sure. And that we must continue to make the links that we were talking about for the last 2 days or more. And as Aboriginal people, I assure you, we are willing and will be there to make these links with you and work together. And that I had the feeling in the conference that I did not feel the heavy, fierce racism that I have throughout most of my life. But after all, this was not an internal colony here. So that I must say that I have been very pleased about it. I go home back to Vancouver with a real nice feeling about that. I have met and heard many progressive people that are prepared to struggle, not just to say demonstrate, but to get in the streets and struggle like you have to. And I'm sure you will. Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.